is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
When God extends mercy, sin is still always punished. I don't know if you catch that or not, but when God extends mercy, the sin that mercy was given toward is still punished. That's where the cross comes in. Christ took the price of sin upon himself so that what could be extended to you and me is mercy and grace. And in eternity, there will be no broken law left unpaid.
God's mercy never cancels out his justice and righteousness. Sin always requires payment, and God promises that he himself will ensure that sin gets its due. The word tells us that the payment for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In today's message, Pastor Troy will show us the beauty of God's perfect plan to save us and forgive us by paying for our spiritual debt of sin himself on the cross. God's mercy is greater, deeper, and richer than man's mercy. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You know, Paul said, I don't just swing my hands wildly. As I'm trying to grow in the Lord and develop in Him, I'm not just swinging my arms wildly. I am focusing, hitting directly the target. I don't have time to waste. I don't have emotion to waste. I don't have finances to waste. I don't have anything to waste. So I focus. I don't meander. I don't beat the wind wildly. But the world does. And as a result, there are so many ideas and so many philosophies. And there's a world that exists today that is dead. They have forgotten God. Because men have lost sight of God, Paul says, they're dead in their sins and trespasses. So what are sins and trespasses? What are these things anyway? Well, I'm not going to list them all. We'd have to do the rest of this year trying to figure them all out, and we'd still miss some. But let me just give you the principle of it. Sin means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. So if somebody establishes, you don't get to make the mark. God makes the mark. And he establishes the mark, and let's just use bow and arrows as a picture here. Let's say you draw back, and he said, here's the mark. Here's right. Here's good. Okay. So not only do you have to hit the mark, you got to hit dead center of the mark. I mean, you got to hit dead center. Anything less is not perfect. So you aim and boom, you hit it. Oh man, stop there, you're ahead. But you can't because life continues. And so you keep shooting arrows, but maybe you get a little tired or whatever, but all the others begin to fall short. You got one that's perfect, but 19 that fell short, off center. You know what that makes you? A sinner. You weren't perfect. Now, it had nothing to do with morals at that point. Here's the target. You missed it. You are a sinner. So, now you're a sinner. You may group better than others. You know what that means? Those of you guys who fired weapons know what I mean. All your arrows are in a group. So maybe you didn't hit center and they're all over the place like you had no consistency. You have good consistency. You grouped them 1 inch down, 1 inch over. I mean, that's good shooting. That's applause worthy. But guess what? Perfect is one hits the center and the rest hit the center of that arrow, splitting them. That's perfect. In God's eyes, that's acceptable. Anything less, you're a sinner. But I was better than those guys. No, see, the cutoff isn't here's first place, here's second place, here's third place, and after that, no one else gets into heaven. It's you must hit dead center every single time. That's the standard. So it really doesn't matter how much closer you were. You were a little bit better sinner than the others, a little better aim, but you're still a sinner. So for some of you, maybe that you feel like you're a worse person than others, let me just say, God doesn't see you that way. He sees everybody that way. Everybody's the same. We're sinners. You're not worse than somebody else. Different. But the solution is the same as everybody else too. It's not aim better, aim better, aim better. Fix it yourself. It's know that someone else took up the bow and aimed perfectly and hits dead center every time. And he wants to lead you. He wants, every time God wants to do something in your life, he wants to wrap his arms around you and grab that bow and arrow. And he wants to say, hey, let go. You're part of this, but let me do it. And he wants to hit dead center every single time. It's a matter of not trying to do better, but let go. And trust God. Trust the Lord. As sinners, people don't do that. So, that's sin, missing the mark. Now, trespass. As if the news couldn't get worse. Sin, that's bad enough. We're sinners, we're stuck. It gets worse than that, because trespass. Trespass is to cross a known boundary. This is intentional. You knew about the boundary. So, a stop sign out there, and you know it's a stop sign. You read English, stop. It's not a big word. And if you don't know the word, everyone knows the shape and color of the sign too. And so we see it, and no one's around, so I must not need to stop. And so we go right through it, right? That's a trespass. That's not just sin. I hear a lot of murmuring right now, a lot of trespassers in this. I didn't call it a sin, I called it a trespass. So a known boundary. Let's use, we always use little Johnny. Has anyone got a little Johnny? Because I'd really hate to make him feel really bad about his life, but oh, we got a little Johnny right here. So anyway, little Johnny is much littler than this little Johnny. Let's say he's real, real young, and he's got his little paper airplane and stuff, and he plays with it. You wax the kitchen floor. It's all taken care of. And you know, when you wax the kitchen floor, you don't want anyone stepping, leaving an impression in the wax. You want it to dry, clean, pure. And so you've mopped, you've done everything. Little Johnny throws his little airplane in the house. It goes onto the table. Hey, he just kind of goes over there to get it, right? Just in the course of living life, nothing wrong. So he walks right on the floor. You, get off the floor, get off the floor. Look, now, he didn't know maybe. Maybe he's never had this explained to him. So you pull him aside and you explain to him, look, don't walk on there. I've got to do this again now because I got to make it clean and look at your footprints. And you explain to him clearly that he was in violation of something that was right, even though he didn't know it. Okay, what Johnny did was sin. He sinned. He didn't know it. He didn't know better. But it was sin. It was wrong. It was wrong, even if he didn't know. Some will ask the question about, well, how are people going to be judged before, like, the law? You know, weren't they given the law so we could know we were sinners? No, we were given the law so we could realize how far depraved we were. See, before the law ever came, people knew God. You know, Cain and Abel? Cain knew God. Cain knew God, still killed his brother. And what God said to him was, Cain, I'm sorry that we didn't put the law out before your time, or you'd be a sinner. No, he said, Cain, don't you understand? Sin is crouching at your door to do what is wrong, to do things the wrong way. It's crouching at your door. It didn't depend on the law coming, but knowing what's right and wrong. And knowing what I have said, you should be able. So not only are you in sin, but you're trespassing against my will. Everyone from the very beginning has had a chance to know right from wrong from God. Adam and Eve had it. They should have passed it down. Now, if my kids I'm passing down the gospel to them. If they choose to make different decisions later on so that my grandchildren, their children, do not hear about the Lord, guess what? My grandchildren would sort of be in the position that the world is in, lost. Why didn't God tell me? What about the pygmy in Africa? What about that? Well, here's what happened. Somebody sinned, turned their back on God who knew him, decided not to share him, and it gave those behind them a disadvantage. Our sin messes with other people, messes up their life. Now, here's the good thing is God is faithful. He's able to reveal himself still. So my grandchildren, say my children, don't go to church and they're not raising the children in the Lord. They will, for one, grandpa will clearly share the gospel with them. But there will be people in their life who come into contact, who are made aware because they're on a search too, that there is a God who loves them. And they will have a responsibility, their own responsibility, to respond to the light given them. Not the laws given them, the light. And people can accept or reject that which is given to them. So, when we know about certain things and we do it anyway, that's a trespass. So, little Johnny throws his plane and it lands on the table. He's already been told not to go on the floor. So he comes to the edge, he sees his plane, and he feels justified. Like, this is actually a good reason. I've got to get my plane. So I feel justified in making this decision. And he walks, knowing that he's not supposed to. Even though he feels justified, he knows he's not supposed to. That, now, is a trespass. So we are dead in sins and trespasses. We do things we don't even know violate God's perfect wills, what's right and wrong. We're doing that all the time. And then we also trespass when we violate laws, established laws that we understand are right and wrong. We do something against them knowing we're doing it. Those are trespasses. We are dead in those. Those keep us from a relationship with God. The more we embrace these things and do these things, the harder it is to spend any time with God. So we're dead. That was you because you had no relationship with God. Sometimes you didn't know what was wrong. That was sin. Sometimes you did and you did it anyway. There's a trespass. But now attention shifts as we paint this dark, dark, dark picture of who we are naturally without God. We read two of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. But God. This was you. But who? God, not you, but you started to do things different. That's not what it says. It says, no, you were lost, you were dead, you could do nothing, you couldn't resurrect yourself, you were going with the current of the world, no hope, but God did something. Who is rich in mercy. We'll talk about mercy in a moment. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, have you ever been given a task, but you weren't clearly told how to perform that task, and you feel kind of lost? Maybe a little insecure, right? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, in life, we're kind of wandering around like that. But because our salvation, first we're saved, is not based upon what we've done, it's in what he's done. We also have a sense of direction and purpose, and we are secure. So you are secure. You are saved when he's made you alive in Christ. You're also secure. Doesn't mean you're perfect. You still miss the whole target at times. But thank God it says here that he is rich in mercy. So we have an imperfect, rebellious, hopeless sinner That's you and me. But God. Romans 5, 7 and 8 say this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't looking for him. We weren't getting a little better. And he said, okay, now I'll save you. We were dead, hopeless, lost, rebellious. And then God saw it fit to reach out to us and give the blind a hand, the dead. That's the testimony of every Christian. I was missing the mark completely. I was totally off on some of my thinking. Isn't that your testimony if you're a believer today? There are some things in your life, the way that you did things, the way you handled your children, the way, whatever it might be, there's something in your life you've done. And as you've grown in the Lord, or maybe as you've come to Christ, you go, boy, did I mess up. Man, I did some wrong things. That's true. God is so rich in mercy. But guess what? Here's a reality. He's so rich in mercy, you actually didn't used to do a lot of things wrong. You still do a lot of things wrong. Sometimes lack of knowledge and understanding. And sometimes outright rebellion. We could be a little spirited. Not the Holy Spirit either. God is rich in mercy. And he leads us. Those who are alive in Christ. So our testimony is, I was missing the mark. But God. He's described as being very rich in mercy, having great love with which he loved us, making us alive together in Christ. So the words mercy and grace, let's talk about those. In fact, there are three words that you should understand the meaning of. Justice, mercy, and grace. Justice means you get what you deserve. That's justice. We all long for justice, right? There are times when someone does something wrong and we're not asking for more. We're not asking for vengeance. We're saying, I just want justice. They've done something wrong. Let's do what's right by the law. Justice. We all cry out for it. One day we will get it. Mercy. Mercy means you don't get what you do deserve. In the way of consequences. Okay, you did something wrong. You do deserve the justice, the judgment, but it's withheld. I'm not going to give it to you. And then there's grace. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. A blessing. Unearned favor. Not because you were all that, because God gave you something you didn't deserve. Now, let's pull all this together with the example of, well, I don't know, who can I get to represent the law? A policeman. Let's say you're going with the flow of traffic, and the flow of traffic just happens to be 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. So you're going with the flow, and the cop, who does he pull over? You know who it is. It's you, every time. There's all kind of other people, and already we feel, that's unjust, this is unfair. All these people are getting by with this, and I have been pulled aside. But that's not unjust. It's only unjust in the sense that they're getting by with it, not that you're getting pulled over for it. So what you're saying is, I want to get by with it too. But in the end, see, that's not what's going to happen in life. No one will get by with it. So the cop pulls you over and he writes you a ticket for going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. And your taillight's out, you didn't use a blinker, and everything else, you know, that he pulls you over. So you get what you deserve. That's justice. You can't gripe or complain about that. You did it, right? That's justice. All right, now let's go mercy. Mercy's what we like, especially from the policeman. So he comes, and there he is. Man, he looks mean. Oh, he does not look like he's having a good day, because that's what you do. You look in the mirror. Oh, man, he does not look happy. And so he comes up, but he is happy. And he says, you know what? You were speeding, but I'm not going to give you a ticket today. I'm going to give you, and this is a great word, a warning. A warning. We hate warnings unless judgment is the option. And then we go, oh, man. thank you. And then we're so kind. Thank you, Mr. Police. What is it, Mr. Smith? Oh, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, but that was wrong. I didn't. Where was the speed limit posted anyway? Well, I'm going to abide by that thing anyway. We're explaining, you know. And then you don't peel out. No, no, you follow the rules, the law. After that, you don't go, thank you. Like, and rejoice in the Lord. You put the blinker on, you pull out. Mercy has been extended and you appreciate it. You understand. That's mercy. Mercy feels so, so good. Well, let's go grace. Grace goes one better. Now, I don't know how to incorporate the policeman into grace, because who's gotten more than that? But here's what it would be. All right, let's say, whenever the policeman pulls you over, a crime's been committed, and really his time has been taken too, that costs the public. That's tax money being spent to pull you over and just write you a warning. So that's really not even just. He spent tax money to do that. So everything's out of balance. The whole law has been violated. Something needs to be paid for. That's why the ticket. But he held mercy. No one paid for the ticket. So to right the whole equilibrium of the law, to get it all right together, what he does is he says, okay, a price has to be paid. I've stopped. I've pulled you over. A crime has been committed. So I have to write the ticket because it has to be written. It has to be paid. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to write the ticket to me. I'm going to write it in my name. And whatever fines and whatever school that has to be taken, whatever has to be done to pay all of this, I am going to pay on your behalf. So everything will be right. Everything will be equal and everything will have been paid for. You see, that's what Jesus did for your sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So as we move into eternity, there will be no unpaid sin. None will be unpaid. It won't be like he extended mercy and there's a lot of outstanding sin that was never really completely brought into balance. That won't happen. He's given us grace, which exceeds our capacity to sin, in fact, for those who are made alive in Christ. Grace is unmerited favor. Salvation is a free gift. It's what we need, not just mercy, above and beyond mercy. Mercy is just saying, yeah, I forgive you, but there's still something wrong. Something is still wrong. So how can a God who's just be both just and merciful? Because if he is just, he must punish sin, right? But if he's merciful, doesn't that negate the justice of it all? Well, listen, when God extends mercy, sin is still always punished. I don't know if you catch that or not, but when God extends mercy, the sin that mercy was given toward is still punished. That's where the cross comes in. Christ took the price of sin upon himself, so that what could be extended to you and me is mercy and grace. And in eternity, there will be no broken law left unpaid. So when you hear the word mercy in the Bible, or mercy, give me mercy, in the scriptures, in the world, in the Bible, it's never grounded in sentiment.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's continuing study through the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about Building on the Solid Rock, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And you'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, We'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God's hand in your life and that you embrace His blessings and grace in each moment of your day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine.